Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This is a story from when I was a kid. I'm almost 30 now, and I don't believe in this stuff anymore. But the truth is, remembering it still brings up the same fear as when I was a 7-year-old boy. Since I was in preschool, I began having a recurring dream. A dream about a woman who came for me at night. She was a witch. Like the ones from the fairy tales, dressed in black. Her awful features and white matted hair terrified me. In my dream, I would see her flying over the large vacant lot next to my house. I would tell my whole family that the witch was there, that she was looking for me, that she was coming for me, but nobody seemed to care. As I grew up, the dream changed little by little. By the time I started elementary school, I would dream about her 2 or 3 times a week. She was closer each time. I remember that one night, I saw her floating right in front of the window of my house. Like always, I cried out to my family, begging them to look out for me, to protect me. But their answer was always the same. Hide beneath the window. Beneath the window that the witch was peering through. My family's logic in the dream was that I would be safer there. That it would be the only place she wouldn't look for me. The witch kept torturing me several nights a week, every time coming closer. Once, I thought I saw her climbing the fence in our yard like a spider, and while my family believed me, they always gave me the same answer, hide beneath the window. Until one of those nights, while I was under the window, I could hear how she scratched the glass with her long black nails. Around that time, I told my mom about my dream, and she began to pray with me every night right before going to sleep. But I kept dreaming the same thing, so my mom started sleeping with me every night. If for some reason she couldn't, she sent my older brother. But then I had a dream I'll never forget. It was a kind of mix of all the previous dreams. First, I saw the witch floating in the vacant lot. Then she came closer, floating with her arms spread. Once in the yard, she crawled towards the window like a half-human spider. My mom told me to hide, and like in all the dreams, the rest of the family pretended they couldn't see her, as if nothing was happening, while the witch searched for me through the window like a trapped animal, desperate for food. My heart almost stopped when, on that occasion, I heard the window opening. I closed my eyes and started to cry. When I suddenly heard my whole family, I opened my eyes and everyone was looking at me with terror in their eyes. At that moment, I felt nails digging into my shoulders. and when I turned around, I saw that terrifying face, with bulging eyes and a horrific smile. And at that moment, I woke up. My family was standing around me in a medical clinic. Apparently, I had had a fever and was very sick all night. I stayed at the clinic another night, and we moved houses shortly after. Many years later, when I was 15, my family told me why we actually moved. Yes, there was a woman. A woman they began to notice on a roof across the vacant lot in front of our house. Always around 3 a.m., just standing on that blue roof, staring at our house, doing nothing else, looking right at that living room window where I hid in the dream. They wrote it off as being the neighbor's elderly mother or grandmother, and thought better than to ask questions. Once, my dad was shocked to find the old woman standing in the middle of the vacant lot, right between both houses. The next morning, a neighbor commented about some stories the older neighbors used to tell, about a woman, an old woman who practiced Satanism and frightened those unlucky souls who ran into her at night. But that had been many years ago. Still, this began to worry my family to some extent, especially because weeks before I had told them about my dreams. I had never seen the woman on the roof, only in my dreams. On the day that I was hospitalized with a fever when I had my last dream, they had seen the woman walk through our yard, quietly, just pacing in front of the windows. The next day, while my family was at the hospital with me, my mom went to the neighbor's house to confront them, asking what the old woman was looking for and demanding she not come near us again. The young neighbor was quite confused. She told my mom that she lived alone with her husband. There was no old woman, but she now understood the footsteps they constantly heard on the roof. She and her husband had searched the roof several times when they heard them, but never saw anything. That same day, they started looking for a new house, just like my parents, and we moved out shortly after. And well, this is my story. I do have a confession to make. When I started listening to your channel, I told my girlfriend this story and asked her if it was worth sending to you. Well, ever since then, I've started dreaming about the woman again. I want to tell you my story, something that happened to me personally, something that, unfortunately, I will always remember. My daughter follows your show and convinced me to write about my experience. I'm 65 years old, and I was born in the state of Guanajuato. I grew up in San Felipe, on a small ranch on the outskirts of town. That's where I lived with my parents, my grandmother, and my siblings. What I'm about to tell you happened when I was about 8. My little brother was 2, and my older brother was 15 years old. It had rained a lot those days, and there was a pretty ugly wind that wouldn't go away. I remember waking up one morning and hearing my parents cursing outside the house. Between the rain, wind, and mud, they had found a dead cow with her calf. Some other animals were missing too, as if something had gotten in at night and scared them away. It kept raining. My grandmother prepared food and my mom went into town. I don't remember why anymore. What I do remember was the news she came back with. Don Genaro, my dad's best friend, had taken the lives of his whole family. He had gone crazy and had then hanged himself from a tree where a neighboring child found him in the morning. My dad got very upset by the news. He showered quickly and left for town with my mom. My grandmother lit more candles, as she had been doing on all those rainy days, and said that something very bad had come to town. Those were her words. After so many days inside, my sister took advantage when the rain calmed down and said she was going to visit our second cousins, who lived about 20 minutes away. No matter how much my grandmother begged her, she couldn't convince her to stay. She left around 8 o'clock, and shortly after, my little brother got very sick. He started crying and screaming, his gaze fixed on the ceiling, unable to look away. My grandmother went out the back door to look for some herbs. She walked a few steps and just stood there, just looking into the darkness. Then, I started hearing crying, as if something was crying in the wind. My grandmother was already very old, and I, being a little girl, thought that if I wanted to help my brother, I had to catch up with my older sister at our cousin's house, so they could take us into town to look for my parents. I grabbed the boy, wrapped him up and ran out. But I suddenly heard a blood-curdling scream and froze. It was the most horrible scream I had ever heard. It came from behind me, from the direction of the house, as if from the roof. Scared, I ran back to the house. My grandmother came out for me to help me with the boy, and we locked every door and every window. Moments later, my grandmother had me pray while she went out to look for my sister, so that when she came back, she wouldn't have to meet that thing on the road. It's the bravest thing I've ever seen anyone do. My grandmother went out with that thing there in the tree, with those screams still out there in the wind. My grandmother and sister came back a while later. My sister hadn't seen anything and didn't believe us. I fell asleep. And when I woke up, my parents were back. They didn't believe us either. Only my grandmother and I knew what we had seen. But a strange thing happened much later. When my brother grew up, he recalled the woman in white in the tree, before we even told him what happened that day. Years later, we moved to San Antonio, Texas, and we never went back to town. Only my grandmother stayed in her little house, and shortly before she died, when I was about 20 years old, we convinced her to come visit us. At some point, I asked her about that woman in white in the tree. With a mix of fear and compassion, my grandmother just said,
"Poor thing. She keeps taking little animals and Christians. She keeps coming back to cry."
I'd sent this story in before, but I still want to share it with you. Thank you in advance for taking a little of your time to listen to this message. My name is Eric, and I am 24 years old. I am from Morelia, Michoacán. I am a doctor, and I am currently doing my social service in a town 4 hours away from my hometown. During my weekday stay there, I reside in the clinic itself, like most interning doctors. When I first arrived, the doctor finishing his shift mentioned that I would hear many noises during the night. I wanted to think he was teasing me, especially because the clinic was part of a former hacienda. But I soon learned he was telling the truth. At night, on the second level of the clinic, footsteps can be heard as clear as day, as if there were children playing, but noises on the roof were the most common. On one occasion, I was in my office finishing the notes from the day's appointments. At approximately 10 p.m., you could see an electrical storm approaching in the sky, and I started hearing footsteps. But they were different than before. They were much more active. A few minutes later, the town's electricity went out, just as the footsteps ceased. In the clinic, there is a refrigerator with vaccines, so I had to check that it was staying at a suitable temperature. I know many will not believe it. I would not have believed it myself if I had not lived it firsthand. But when I reached the hallway, I clearly felt someone push me on the left shoulder. I reacted immediately by shining my flashlight in that direction. I was alone in the clinic, so the only explanation was that someone had sneaked in. But there was no one there. Right then, the footsteps on the second floor started again. Louder this time, I checked the refrigerator temperature and went to the residence to sleep as I had grown accustomed to it. But on the next Friday, and this I'll never forget, during an appointment with a lady who lived across from the clinic, she asked me why I had gone to bed so late, although I remembered that the night before I had gone to bed quite early. I asked the lady why she mentioned that and said that around 3 in the morning, she got up to drink water and noticed that the clinic lights were on and she could see someone pacing back and forth through the clinic. She thought it was me and just went back to sleep. But when the lady finished saying this, a shiver ran down my spine. I knew that at that time, I was completely alone and asleep in my room. But without a doubt, the worst experience I had there was at the beginning of October last year. It started with a normal consultation with a 5-year-old boy with a common cold. The mother took the opportunity to ask me if I could prescribe something else because her son was not sleeping well. I asked the little boy why he couldn't sleep, and he replied that Angela would not let him sleep at night. From the mother's face, I noticed that this Angela did not exist. So I didn't give it much importance. I just told the boy that Angela could not do anything to him. That same night in the early morning, I was tidying up my things because I was leaving for my house the next day, when I heard 3 knocks on the window. I thought it might be an emergency and I looked out, but there was no one outside. I got closer and right in front of my face, I heard 3 little knocks again. I ran to the residence and turned off all the lights, trying to ignore what had just happened. And I knew it was time to go back home. The next day, I took the bus to the station. A few stops later, a lady got on with a boy. I recognized them immediately. It was that boy who couldn't sleep, the one from the consultation the day before. He greeted me and very excitedly told me,
"Doctor, Angela told me she went to visit you last night. She says she knocked on your window, but you didn't want to open it."
Whether you believe me or not, I just wanted to share the strange experiences I lived through in that place. I know there is something in that clinic, in that former hacienda. I acknowledge that I'm a very pessimistic and negative person, and perhaps that's why these things happen to me. I'm currently on vacation and on Monday I return to the clinic. But I recently had a very important personal loss, and I don't know if what lurks in the clinic will pick up on my sadness, my vulnerability. I have another 6 months left of my internship, so wish me luck. This story happened in 1994 and is totally real, but I'll let you draw your own conclusions. I am from a very small town in the north of the country, a few kilometers from the border with the United States. Perhaps that is why Halloween is a fairly ingrained tradition. For some children like me, it was the most anticipated party of the year. We enjoyed dressing up as demons, our favorite monsters, and we walked all over town. We even knew which houses not only gave candy, but became real haunted houses. The neighborhood where I lived was on the outskirts on the west side of town. There was a hill, and then just mountains, uninhabited for several dozen kilometers until you reach the next town. That Halloween I'm telling you about was very special. If anyone from the town hears this, they'll be able to verify it. Weeks before, someone had committed a terrible crime. A family living on the outskirts had lost their lives violently. The parents and a girl had been found by the police, beaten to death. The 10-year-old son had disappeared, but they found him a day later on a hill several kilometers away. The town was shocked when the details began to emerge, especially when they began to attribute it to a satanic ritual. Pure evil. I was just a child, so I didn't understand the gravity of it, as I do now. there was a killer on the loose. But us children didn't understand why we had been prohibited from going out to ask for candy and celebrate Halloween, taking advantage of the fact that some of our parents worked or were not in town. Some of us snuck out. Me and my friends were the only children running through those streets, thinking all the candy was going to be for us. But everything was off. Even in the houses that were decorated, little movement could be seen. It wasn't even 7 o'clock in the evening, and the place looked deserted, and not just of children. Everyone had decided to lock themselves indoors. Then we saw light coming from a small church at the end of a street. Some people were coming out of a service. We didn't know their religion, but one thing was for sure, they certainly did not celebrate Halloween. An extremely thin 50-year-old woman hurried over to us.
"You shouldn't be on the street, kids,"
she told us. I replied that we just wanted to trick-or-treat, as we did every year. She gave us some flowers she was carrying.
"Take this with you. If I see you again, I promise I'll give you candy another day. But tonight, go home. They chose the village. Today they come."
We realized that everyone coming out of the church was carrying similar bouquets. We ignored her because honestly, she didn't seem to be in full possession of her mental faculties. And we kept walking, excited, to be honest, because a wind had been unleashed that made us think we were living in our own horror movie. It was the perfect Halloween atmosphere. A sound caught our attention, and we turned around. It seemed to have come out of one of those houses, like a recording of the sounds of a haunted house. We heard it again, and approached nervously, though still smiling. There were no lights on in the house, but we heard the sound again, this time, behind us. We tried looking into the darkness of that patio, but couldn't make out a thing. Turns out we were looking in the wrong place, because we heard the sound again, and this time, we knew it came from the roof. We looked up, finding an enormous silhouette of at least 2 meters standing there. We took off running, without knowing if what we saw was part of a decoration or not, but we didn't care. Some of us ran one way and the others went the opposite way. We met again after several blocks on the main street. The kids who had gone the other way said they kept hearing it, as if this thing had followed them jumping from roof to roof, chasing them to the end of the street. It sounded like an animal, like a bull running behind them. We walked a little until we found one of my friend's brothers who was a taxi driver. We asked him to please take us home, and after scolding his brother for being outside, he agreed.
"I don't know what's going on, but there is something very strange in the air. Don't you feel it?"
he asked us as he drove. That night, all of us who went out kept hearing noises on our roofs. Moans, shrieks, and that kind of bull animal breathing. At school the next day, we learned that we were not the only group that went out. 6 boys from a 6th grade classroom also went out, but they had not returned home. No one at school talked about anything else. We couldn't even tell people what happened to us, afraid they'd think we wanted to steal the attention. So, we never said anything. And those boys, they were never found. In the investigation, an old man from a ranch several kilometers away claimed to have seen a 2-meter-tall silhouette being followed by several children. But everyone thought he was crazy, so they dismissed him. It took many years for Halloween to be celebrated here again.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.